Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Feel good to have you here with us. So let me say hi. We're glad to have you with us tonight.
It's good to be here.
We welcome all of our friends on Blog Talk Radio from around the world. 46 different nations. That's a lot of people.
It is. My goodness.
We don't know how you found us, but we're sure glad you did.
Amen.
Tell it to more people just like you. And then tell it to us just like us. Are we live on YouTube now?
We are live on YouTube.
All right.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome, 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 welcome. I'm glad to have you guys with us tonight. I'm actually sitting in the studio. That is a fake wall behind me. That is real.
Hallelujah.
It's real. So, I'm now learning everything Sister Leanne did when she sat over here. And let me say it again. I'm now doing my best to learn everything that Sister Leanne did when she was sitting over here. You know, sitting on this side of the desk, there's just nothing to it. It's just simple as falling off a rock, you know. And yet, there's something that is to it. Anyways, we welcome you. We've been studying the bait of Satan with Brother John Bevere. And we finished the old series, the new series, and went all the way into the reconciliation. And I want us to do the reconciliation again tonight, because it's the most important part of the whole series, is learning how to reconcile with our past. Everybody's got one. Want to say it with me? I have a past.
Have a past.
I have a past.
And that's all it is.
And that's all it is.
It's in the past. Quit worrying about it. Quit trying to bring it up. As Jesus said, let the dead past bury itself.
Amen.
Those are the words right out of the Master's mouth. Let the dead past bury itself. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to type those words in, and I'm going to get it while I'm talking, and it's going to work. What I'm going to do is I'm going to teach on reconciliation a little bit right now till about 8 o'clock. And then we're going to turn Brother John on, and we're going to hear him talk about that last, you know, that last process of reconciliation. Mr. Land's got the videos all up and ready to go. And so I want us all to take notes tonight, because anything that's a wound and anything that's a bitterness and anything that's an offense will slow us down and stop us if we let it. Now, it doesn't have to slow you down, and it doesn't have to stop you. It just will if you let it. And I know you're like me. I'm not going to let it slow me down. I'm not going to let it stop me. And so I want to teach a little bit about the ministry of reconciliation, read some verses. But see, you and I are called ministers of reconciliation. That means we are called to a ministry that the whole purpose is reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
That means, since you and I are called to that, it is in us by our very nature. It is not a difficult thing to be reconciled to God. So, let's read a couple sets of verses, and then we'll get started. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
I was hoping you'd say yes, because if you said no, we were going to have trouble, because I was going to read it anyways, whether you said yes or no. Here we go. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. 1 through 11. Hold on. I better plug my phone in.
Sorry.
I threw out with somebody feeling happy and singing. Sometimes there's certain places where you should probably not do that. One of them is in a courtroom when the judge is trying to have court. Why are you in jail? Well, I was singing while the court was going on, you know. Anyways, here we go. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. You have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you that through Jesus' blood, we have been reconciled and made one, at one meant, because of the atonement of Jesus' blood. And now as we study this, we declare that you are moving in us, and we are free from all offense, all bitterness, all wounds, and we are free to serve you wide open day and night, everywhere we go and everything that we do. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen, and amen, and amen. Now, I told you I was going to read this. Did you guys know why you didn't copy and paste that for me? You know, I thought the secretary would get it done. Therefore, what do you do when you find a therefore?
Find
out what it's there for. Amen. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what's justified means just as if I never sinned. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, if we have peace with God, that means we have been reconciled to God, right? Let's keep reading. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. What is faith? I believe God exists. I know he rewards me when I diligently seek him. We have access by faith into this grace, supernatural empowerment by God to do what truth demands us. Grace. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. Not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Now, Paul, did you have to say it that way? And he says, I'm just a scribe, boy. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Ah, you're getting to be a more fancy character by the persecution. Character produces hope. Begin to understand life, see what's going on. Realize the whole world's not out to get you. Verse 5. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Say this with me. I receive the love of God.
I receive the love of God.
Poured out on top of my head.
Poured out on top of my
in
head.
In every part of my life.
Every part of my
by
life.
The Holy
amen.
Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love
amen,
it?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Who was given to us? Verse 5. For we were still without strength. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Say it with me. When I was a sinner.
When I was a sinner.
Christ died for me.
Christ died for me.
If you remember, what Brother John Bevere has been teaching through this whole message is, you only receive as much forgiveness from God as you provide for everyone else in your life.
Wow.
If you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. That is the bottom line, basic message of how to be free from offense. You're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to get forgiveness. And if you don't give forgiveness, you don't get it. Keep going. Verse 9. How much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You know, you can't grow reconciliation. You have to receive the blood, receive Jesus' work done, and now you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you get to function in reconciliation. Now, let's go to another verse. 1 John chapter number 3. Chapter number 3. 1 John 3. Are we on YouTube?
We are on YouTube.
All right. 1 John 3. We welcome all of you that's joined us on YouTube. We're glad to have you with us tonight. I'm teaching right now a few minutes reading some verses about reconciliation. And then we're going to go through what Brother John Bevere taught us in this series on reconciliation at the end. And then when we're finished with that, we'll come back and have some more discussion. All within the next, 15 or 20 minutes.
Hi, Sunday.
Now, for those of you that just heard my wife laugh, she wasn't laughing at me.
I was laughing with you.
She was filled with joy of the humor that we would do it in 15 minutes. Here we go. Now, I'm just going to grab a couple verses out of here. So the context of what I'm wanting to read is verses 1 through 9. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. I mean, think about it. We're children of wrath to be destroyed with anybody else until we find God. And then he said, in the last 5 seconds, you went from wrath, children of wrath, to the children of God. Now, that doesn't make sense to people's minds. They're like, yeah, but I didn't become righteous. I didn't do all this good goody-goody two-shoe stuff. I'm not, I'm not the perfect, and I'm not, and I didn't, and I haven't. And what is it you're trying to do? You're trying to do all that in your own strength, and you can't do that. You just can't do it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God? Verse 2. Beloved, now, say it with me, right now.
Right now.
We are the children of God right now. And it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Verse 3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now watch. Verse 4. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. If you do not forgive your brother, you're committing sin.
Wow.
And sin is lawlessness. Remember Jesus' statement? When they asked him about the end of times, I don't have the exact verse, somebody find it. He said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many
will grow cold. Yeah.
Nobody can make your love grow cold. But if you haven't noticed how much lawlessness is all around us, oh my goodness, this is really bad. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, shouldn't I mute my mic and you unmute yours?
I don't know.
I think you should.
I don't know that that would work. We don't need to mute and then just get into a big muting situation. Sister Phyllis, can you guys hear us, everything, and hear me good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. It is. Straight up. You know that he was manifested to take away his sin, and there's no, and in him there is no sin. Verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Say it with me. I abide in him.
I abide in him.
And I does not sin.
And I does not sin.
Whoever abides in Jesus does not sin, and I have already made a decision. I does not. Let's just try it. See if it works.
Oh, did you unmute?
I unmuted.
Okay, well, let me mute then. Now you unmute.
Let's try it. See how it works. Then, if you guys can't hear us, let us know. Because we're trying to work something out here between us. Watch this. 1 John chapter 3. I'm in verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Who sins is of the devil. Even if they go to church. He who sins is of the devil, even if they go to church. Let me see if I can read the Bible like it says it. He who sins is of the devil. And I added the wonderful clause, even if he goes to church. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Why? For his seed remains in him. All right. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. His lawlessness and unforgiveness is probably one of the greatest sins you can sin. Because if you have unforgiveness, then what does God have to do? That means he doesn't forgive you. Luke chapter 4. Yeah. No. Chapter 11. Luke 42, sit down, hike. I am going to Mark chapter 11. I better go by and see what's in Luke 4 so I know. Oh, that's Jesus' ministry. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, 24 through 26. I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But see, that's not the last verse in that text. And the conjunction saying what was back there is important and what I'm saying now is important. And whenever you stand praying, speaking to that mountain, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Wow.
And I think a good way to understand that neither will, I think a good way to say that is neither can your Father in heaven forgive you. Why? Because if you don't forgive, he can't, because he's watching your actions of what you want to receive from him. It's a powerful word, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm doing pretty good by the Holy Spirit, just so everybody knows I ain't bragging. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what time it is? 7:46. I'm doing really good. I just want you to know.
You are.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 11 through 21. Second Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's an interesting verse to start with, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But we are well known to God. I like that. I am well known to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I also trust are well known in your consciences. 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you the opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. You look good, you act good, you talk good, but your heart ain't right. God is dealing with this. Remember, this isn't the wisdom of the Apostle Paul that we're reading. This is Apostle Paul is the scribe of the Holy Spirit bringing this revelation to us.
Corinthians, where are we at?
2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. Verse 13. See if I can slow my words down. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we are of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. See, our life is not our own. We are bought with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus. Somebody let me know, can you hear us effectively? Nobody's flagging us, so there must be. Verse number...
Dana says we can't hear them with the song.
Right. You have to mute your computer. No, that's still not going to work.
Can you hear Dan? Oh, I hear you fine. Okay.
Thank you. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say it, I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
He is a new creation.
I am a new
creation. Not because you did something, because you said, Jesus, I received your blood, and his blood went to work immediately, made you a new creation, reconciled you to God, put all your sin in remission, redeemed you, all of those things.
Hallelujah.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. After you get done with all things, what is left?
Because
it's all things. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, you can't function as a minister of reconciliation if you don't reconcile yourself.
There you go.
Am I preaching better than you're shouting amen? But it's all right. Go ahead.
As long as you quote the scripture, honey, I am just going to read a follow
Love you, Phil. Love you, Phil. Watch it. You have to mute that. Yeah. Right? Is that what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm learning. She's learning. Aren't you guys learning? Say it with me right now. I declare all the equipment that we need.
I declare all the equipment that we need.
Comes to us now. Amen. 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. When you and I impute somebody's trespasses to them, we're doing what even Jesus himself doesn't do. See, all of a sudden, you got to take the word of God and say, whoops, it ain't about nothing that nobody's done. It's about, am I going to be right with God?
Yeah.
God help them. There's a lot of people who are offended at you. There's a lot of people who you may be offended at that are perfectly right with God. What a shame to get they get to heaven and you don't.
Because you're offended.
Because you're offended.
Yeah.
Not imputing the trespass into them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we're not only ministers of reconciliation, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be the sin sacrifice for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not going to do a bunch of teaching. I just wanted to read those sets of verses to lay a foundation for reconciliation again.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So Sister Lynn's going to begin to work. Get Brother John teaching his last lesson on reconciliation, however all that is. And as soon as he starts preaching, then I'll stop. So go ahead.
Okay.
Now, this is, thank God for this last week and a half. I think this is just amazing.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Because the greatest thing that stops any of us from moving to another level in God is our own bitterness and confusion that we allow in our own life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow it. Not another day. Whenever you're ready, sir.
Oh,
all right. I'll just keep talking.
Yeah.
I am anointed by God to minister.
Okay, those of you on YouTube.
I'm just leaving that.
Okay. Okay. Stay put and we'll just keep going.
See what happens. You got Phyllis muted. I muted my mic. You can turn that back on.
We didn't hear what you were saying, Phyllis. I had to mute.
I just said that was the best sermon he had ever preached.
Thank you, Phyllis.
It's too funny.
Thank you for that coat of oh, my goodness. Here we go, Brother John.
On behalf of the entire Messenger team, we are so excited that you are going through the Beta Satan course. See, so many people are trapped in cycles of offense in our culture today, but we believe this course will empower you to move forward in forgiveness and find freedom like never before. We encourage you, share this with a friend. We know that this message is going to impact lives all around the world. And here's the cool thing. You get to watch this lesson at no cost. And now we want to give you the opportunity to do the exact same thing. See, we believe that you are a messenger, and it's only through you that we can take this message into the hands of everyone everywhere. We believe that you are a messenger, and it's only through you that we can take this message into the hands of everyone everywhere. See, every time you give, you are a part of fulfilling Jesus's final command that he gives us in Matthew 28 that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So we're so excited as you continue to learn and to grow into all that God has for you. If you want more information on this topic, you can visit our related resources or check out all the other courses that we have here on Messenger X. We hope you enjoy this final lesson, and thanks again for your support, because everyone deserves to know.
I can't believe this. We're in session six. It's the final session of the Beta Satan. Have you enjoyed this?
Okay, great.
I am so grateful to the Lord, because I had a great man of God look at me and say, John, never get tired of preaching this. He said it back to me in 1995. And I'm so glad I get to preach this the rest of my life, because I personally need to hear this. I had a senior pastor say to me one time, he said, I read your book, The Beta Satan, four times a year. And I laughed at him. I was at a conference, you know, and I laughed at him. I said, oh, come on. I said, you're exaggerating. He goes, and he looked at me seriously, and he said, no, it's right by my bedstand. And I read it every January 1st, April 1st, July 1st, and October 1st. I said, why? He said, because I want to keep a Teflon coating on my spirit. The offenses just fall off of me. And I thought, wow, you're a wise man. And so I feel so privileged, because I get to preach this and hear myself preach it. You know, it's just such a reminder. Matter of fact, when I read the book at Focus on the Family, you know, it was years after, you know, the book had come out. They wanted to make an audio book into it. I came home and said to my wife, I said, I know this book's from God. I have three men I need to call. So and my family was like, yes, amen. So, you know, that's why we're told to exhort one another daily, you know, and that's why I'm so happy. That if you're watching it for the first time, great. But if you're watching it again and again, I applaud you for being so wise. And so we're going to talk about reconciliation, all right? All of this that I'm preaching is not a bunch of theory, okay? I went through a deep, deep wounding offense. There was a man in my life that was a father to me, very, very close. He was a spiritual father. And what happened was, he had done some things to me over a course of a year that were absolutely devastating. And it actually got worse as the year went on. And it got so obvious at the end of the year that people started coming from everywhere in this church saying to me, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And people would say, are you going to go to him? And I said, no, I'm going on with the call of God in my life. I'm fine. Well, what I didn't realize is that I was too proud to admit that I was offended. I saw being offended as a sign of weakness, and I'm too proud to say I'm weak. So what happens? I go for several months, and the love of God starts getting colder and colder and colder. And this is some of the signs that I can look back now that I didn't recognize. Ministry started becoming more of an occupation to me, not a passion. I remember Lisa and I driving in the car. There was a worship CD on. I actually think it was cassette tape. I know most of you can't even relate to that. But you know, she's in the car and she's weeping. And I feel nothing. I mean, God is so far away. And I'm just sitting there driving. And she looks over and she sees my stone cold face and she goes, John, what's wrong? I said, nothing, nothing. You worship, I'm meditating. It got so bad that I couldn't stand myself anymore. And one day I walked out into my backyard and I just kind of looked up. Nobody's in my backyard. And I just looked up and I said, God, am I offended? And I heard this on the inside of me. Yes! Okay, so it is the loudest to this day I have ever heard the voice of God. I personally think it was audible, but it may not have been. It might have been so loud in here that I heard it here. I don't know. But I was like, I dropped my hands and I said, I don't know how to get out of this. I've forgiven by faith. I've fasted. I have confessed forgiveness. I've prayed. I've had other people pray with me. Why am I still so tormented? Why can't I get out of this? And I remember I was at the end of a four-day fast shortly after this. And I went to a funeral, and this man was conducting the funeral. And I was sitting in the back because I got there a little late. And I remember, you know, about three-fourths of the way through the funeral, the wells just broke open in me for the first time in months. And I started crying and crying and crying and crying. And I remember I'm in the back, and I just go, I forgive you. I forgive you. I release you. I forgive you. I release you. And I remember I thought, I got to get out of here before this funeral's over because my, you know, I right at the very end when they said amen and said the casket, I booked out of it because my eyes were so red probably from crying. And I thought, it's done. I'm free. I've forgiven him. Everything's great. Well, 2 weeks later, I saw him again. And I'm telling you, when I saw him, I thought, how can he be so blessed? I mean, he did this to me. And he did that to me. And he did this to me. And he did this to that person. And he did this to that person. And he's doing this now. And I remember leaving that place feeling so beat up. I went home thinking about it. I had lunch with my wife, and I talked about it over lunch. I thought about it all afternoon. I talked about it with Lisa at dinner. I went to bed thinking about what he had done to me. I got up the next morning thinking about what he had done to me. I got in the shower thinking about what he had done to me. And then I got scared. I thought, oh, my gosh. I cried. I cried tears. Why am I still so tormented? Well, there was a truth that I did not understand, and that truth is found in Paul's words in Acts 24, verse 16. Paul said, and herein do I exercise. Everybody shout exercise. Myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, the New King James says strive. This is the King James. Other verses use different words. But I'm going to go to the root of this word. The word is eskeo, and this is how it's defined. To exercise oneself, to exert all one's diligence, to endeavor, to strive, to engage in some activity with both continuity and effort. So it's a focused exercise, just like you would go to the gym, right? Now, let me explain this to you, all right? Arden, would you help me, please? All right, I've got Arden here, my youngest son. He's big, he's tall, he's strong. Now, I want you to watch this. I could walk up to Arden and do this. Did you like that, Arden? No. See, the reason I chose Arden is I knew he'd be honest. Alec might go, it's okay, Dad. Now, Arden is fine. Do you see that? He's fine. Now, can I have that chair, please? Now, I could take this chair. And I could go like this. And if I did, what would I do? I would wound him. You see, there are some offenses, come close, that hit us. When they hit us, we don't like it. But when it's over, it's like water off a duck's back. We're okay. There are other offenses that hit us that wound us. And wounds don't heal overnight. And if not properly treated, wounds never heal. Arden, do you still love me? Thank you very much. Okay. Several years ago, you know, the kids were small. Leif and I were preaching. We were doing a conference in Honolulu, Hawaii. That is a great place to do a conference. And the second to last day, we were playing tourist. And this is like 23 years ago. And I remember we wanted to go to see this place called Hanama Bay, and they had a wall to see it. And there was a sign that said, do not climb the wall. What do? I climb the wall. And I put my foot up, and it's like stone wall, so it's uneven. And my right leg's a little crooked. And when I put all my weight on my right knee, I hear this. And I went, ah! Now, my wife and the associate pastor are laughing at me in the car. But when I jump down off the wall, I can't walk. And I'm like this. And they run out, and they help me back. And I'm in a brace for the next 6 weeks, and I'm actually using crutches and even being wheeled onto airplanes with wheelchairs, okay? So the next day, the associate pastor's wife had a trainer and a physical therapist, okay? And they got him to work on my knee. Well, this guy owns a gym, and he's bald, he's big, and he's not saved, okay, yet. And he's working on my knee in his gym, and he's making me hurt. And he says to me all of a sudden, he's really a gruff guy. He goes, you want to know why you injured your knee? I said, sure. He said, you know, all these people around here, look at them. They would never injure their knee when they climbed that wall, but you did. I said, okay, why did I injure my knee and they wouldn't? He said, because you're out of shape. You don't exercise. And I started thinking about it. The reason I chose Arden is because Arden goes to the gym like 5 days a week. Arden is strong. If I would have hit some of you as hard as I hit Arden, you'd been the doctor. Okay? But he can handle it. Then there's some people like our old neighbors that we live next door to in Orlando, Florida. He was a WWF wrestler. And I remember we became very, very close, our kids, and he and I and our kids would play street hockey together and basketball. And one day he looked at me and said, John, come watch my videos. And I thought it was all fake until I saw his videos. And I watched them literally break a chair over his back. I watched them bust an acoustic guitar over his head. I watched a 400-pound sumo wrestler land on top of him, jumping off the ropes of the ring, and he got up. I mean, if that happened to anybody else, they'd be in traction. And all of a sudden, I realized there are Christians like this guy. Because Psalm says, great peace have them who love your word, and nothing can offend them. You can't injure that guy. But let me tell you, you could have put any of us in serious condition with what they were doing with him. Well, that's the way there are people in the spirit. There are people that they're weak. They're not praying. They're not building up their inner man. They're not spending time in the word. So they're easily wounded. Okay. Then there's other people. They spend time in his word. They love his word. They spend time worshiping. And they're like that WWF wrestler in Arden. You see what I'm saying? And so I remember we got on a plane and we flew over to Indonesia. And we're in Indonesia, and they see that I got off the plane in a wheelchair. It was really humbling. I mean, Addison and Arden and Alec and Austin all got off the plane with mom carrying all the bags, and here comes the man of God in the wheelchair. And so they were like, well, you need a physical therapist. So they get this physical. I don't think you were on that trip. Were you on that trip? I can't even remember. But anyway, I'm my youngest. But anyway, I don't think he was even born yet. But anyway, no, you were. You were. So anyway, you were on the trip. You don't remember. So the guy is working on my knee, okay, this physical therapist. And he goes, Mr. Bevere, do you want to know how to get your knee healed? I said, yes, please tell me, how do I get my knee healed? He said, exercise. Every day, exercise. And I started thinking, that makes sense. Like a football player, if he blows out his knee, right, what do? They do physical therapy. What's physical therapy? That's focused exercise to get that guy's knee back to where it was before it got injured. And the Lord said to me, that's what you need to do. You need to exercise. And I never forget that. I heard him say that so clear. I said, God, how do I exercise? And the Holy Spirit said, read Matthew 5. So I read Matthew 5. I get to the 44th verse. And look at the words of Jesus I see. But I tell you, pray for anyone who mistreats you. I thought, whoa, pray for anyone who mistreats you. Do you know what's amazing? Not once in the whole gospel does Jesus tell us to pray for our mother. Show me the verse. It's not there. Now, once does he tell you to pray for your father?
Wow.
Now, do we not pray for our mom and dad? Yeah, you pray for your mom and dad. Okay. But what I find to be amazing is the person that Jesus specifically isolates and tells you you must pray for is the person who has mistreated you. So I remember the Lord showed me that, and the Lord said, pray for him. So I got up, I started pacing the floor, and I said, Father, bless him. That's about all I could say that day. The next day, Lord, if you can, bless him. And I kept praying that way every day with that kind of monotone voice with no passion.
Wow.
And so after about 5 weeks, I'm still in the same shape. And I'm on a three-day fast, and the Lord said to me, read Psalm 35. I had no idea it was in Psalm 35. So I start reading Psalm 35, and the first 10 verses make no sense at all, which is so funny. You're like, okay, I'm reading. And then I get to verse 11, and look at this. Evil people pay me back evil for good. I said, hey, that's me. And I think in despair, I did this guy good. He paid me back evil. So I'm thinking, you know, David's going to say, like, bust their teeth out, right? Like some of the Psalms do, right? But look what David says. He says this. He says, but when they, the evil people that paid me back good, right, evil for good, when they were sick in mourning, I deprived myself of food. I prayed with my head bowed low as I would pray for a friend or a brother. And the Lord speaks to me and said, son, you pray for him what you want me to do in your life, your family, or your friends. Now that changed. And I remember I got up from the table and I started pacing the floor. I said, Father, I said, I pray that this man would know you the best a man would know can know you. I pray that he would please you the best a man can please you. I pray that you would reveal your heart to him. I pray that you would open up the wisdom of your word to him. I pray that you would surround him with men and women that will speak godly counsel into his life. Deliver him from wicked and unreasonable men. Surround him, Lord, with godly men and women. I ask that you bring finances in for his ministry from unexpected quarters. Lord, protect his wife and children. So I start praying this way. Can I tell you? It wasn't easy. It was painful. So some people think in order for us to be, our prayers to be correct and accurate, they have to feel good. Okay, can I make a point? When a guy is on a leg curl machine and they are putting 20 pounds on there and he is recovering from a blown ACL, that guy wants to scream and hit that physical therapist, right? Because it is so painful. So this was, you just can't pray what feels good. You've got to pray truth. So I just kept praying for him this way with as much passion as I could muster up, which wasn't a lot. But I kept doing it every day, and I'd pray for him like almost 5 minutes every day. And I remember after 2 weeks, there was a little more passion. And I was starting to pray. I was excited about praying this for him. And what's happening? I'm starting to get healed. You see what I'm saying? So I was praying like this for like 5-6 weeks. And I remember on this, there was a certain day I was outside. It was early in the morning. I was at a construction site praying. And I remember I was praying for this guy. And all of a sudden, out of my spirit comes this. So-and-so, I love you. I called out his name and said, I love you. And when I did, I felt like junk came up. It was just like junk. And I thought, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm totally healed. I went home, I told my wife, I said, baby, I'm healed. Because Lisa had looked at me and said, you know, John, you need to pray for him. She nailed it. And I said, Lisa, I'm healed. And she rejoiced, she was so excited. But then I saw the guy 2 weeks later. Another little on the inside. I thought, now what? So my wife, who's so prophetic, sometimes it scares me. And believe me, between her and the Holy Spirit, I don't get away with anything. So she sits me down and she goes, honey, you need to go to him. And I said, oh, and I jumped up off the couch. I said, no. I prayed. I'm healed. I've exercised. Everything's good. I don't need to go to him. She said, okay. So I go out and pray. And I said, God, do I need to go to him? And the Lord said, yes. And it wasn't as strong as the first time, but it was strong. Now, there are two times Jesus tells you to go to your brother. Okay, let me first of all show you how most people interpret going to your brother. Alec, why don't you help me this time? All right, this is the way most people, you know when Jesus says, go to your brother? This is the way most people interpret it. Alec, I just want you to know you did this, can I forgive you? Okay, so what are they doing? They're using that scripture that Jesus says, go to your brother, to vomit all over you and tell you how bad you treated me, right? That is not what he had in mind when he said, go to your brother. Thanks, Alec. When Jesus said, go to your brother, he's got the purpose of reconciliation. Now, there's a big difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, and this is where many people miss it. They lump the two together. No, they're separate. In order to understand the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, you have to look at the cross. All right, when did Jesus forgive us? When he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He wasn't just talking about the soldiers and the Sanhedrin. He was talking to the next generation, right down to you and me, because our sins put him on that cross. So here's the deal. Jesus forgave us before we ever said, I'm sorry. Do you know how many times I've run up against people and they'll go, I'll forgive them when they apologize? Well, what if Jesus would have waited for you to say, I'm sorry, before he forgave you? You and I would have all been in hell. But he chose to forgive us before we ever said, I'm sorry. But when were we reconciled back to Jesus? When we repented and said, I'm sorry, Jesus, you were right. I was wrong. Please forgive me. What led us to that repentance? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 or Romans chapter 2, the goodness of God, the goodness and the kindness of God. So this is what Jesus has in mind when he says, go to your brother. Create an atmosphere of goodness. It's going to want to make him say, I'm sorry. When you go to him and say, you did this and this and this, but I forgive you, you know what he's going to say? Or she's going to say? She's going to say, well, excuse me. So this is what the Lord led me to do through my wife. I bought a gift, a really, really nice gift, a gift I would like to have, okay? And I wrap it up, I make an appointment, I go to this guy's office, and I said to him, I want to give this to you. I just appreciate you, I want to give this to you. He opens that up, and his eyes just got big as saucers. I mean, he looked up at me. I'll never forget this. I can close my eyes and still see it. His eyes are open, his mouth's open. He's like, wow. Thank you. Well, he was speechless. So this is the way I opened up, because I'm creating an atmosphere of goodness, right? Didn't God cause his sun to shine on you before you got saved? Didn't he give you food before you got saved? Didn't he give you a roof over your head before you got saved? I'm creating an atmosphere of goodness, right? So I looked at him and I said, you know what? I've been praying and I have realized that I've been critical of you. He goes, oh, no, you've not been critical of me. I said, oh, yeah, I have. I know what's in my heart. God has revealed it to me. And he said, well, I forgive you. Well, then he opened up and he started sharing with me. He said, well, I did this. And all of a sudden now he starts opening up, right? And right there in that office,
wow,
I completely was able to be reconciled with him.
Wow.
Because there was nothing else between us.
Wow.
And I remember when I walked out of that office, I felt as free as I've ever felt in my life. And I remember after it's like 2 or 3 days, I'm just literally walking in a freedom like I have not experienced in years. And I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? When I first met that man, he could do no wrong in my eyes. And I loved him. I said, that's immature love. Then I saw his faults and his faults were directed towards me. And I didn't love him anymore. I said, that's immature love. I said, you know what, though? Now I still see his faults, but I love him with the intensity of when I first met him. I said, that's got to be the love of God, because 1 Peter 4:8 says the love of God covers the multitude of sins.
Yes.
My life, family, our ministry has never, ever been the same since that. Lisa and I talk that we go back to that time where I went and reconciled, and everything in our life changed. Everything. I would never have been where I am today. And being the privilege to help people the way the Lord has gifted Lisa and I to help people, had I not forgiven that man. I would have been a very bitter, embittered preacher who was trying to force and make the call of God in his life happen. It changed me forever. Now, I just want to say this for the sake of clarity. There are two times Jesus says to go to your brother. Number one, and we have the scriptures in the book, so read the book, Beta Satan. Number one, if your brother has aught against you, or number two, if you have aught against your brother. Mine was the second case. I had aught against him, and so I went to him, and I realized that I had to do it because he also had aught against me. And that's what I discovered in that meeting. But that is the importance. I'm gonna state again what I stated in the very, very first session. Luke 17:1 says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Again, that word offenses is the Greek word scandalon, which is used to describe the bait stick of a trap the hunters would put the bait on and catch small animals and birds. The bait of Satan is Satan's trap. Offenses are Satan's trap to pull us, the believer, into his captivity. The bottom line we as believers should live by, I believe, is shown in Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, sometimes it's not possible. There are people that will not be reconciled. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, we go over it in the book, how to handle these situations. But as much as possible with you, live peaceably with all men. I want to end it with a testimony, and then I want to pray. I'll never forget the time I was doing a conference in Florida. This is just etched in my memory forever. It was a packed out conference. And the leader of the conference, you know, was getting ready to introduce me. He said, you know, before I introduce our guest speaker tonight, I want so-and-so to come up and share with us. And I remember this guy comes walking up on the platform, and it looked like he just literally got off the construction job. He's got jeans that are completely dirty, torn holes in them. He's got a shirt that's dirty on him. He looks like a construction worker. He's got a beard. And he walks up on that platform in front of all these people. And the host starts interviewing him, and he said, you know what, let's just tell your story. And he takes the mic, and he said, I'm 36 years old. And he said, I've been raised in a Christian home. I've been a Christian ever since I can remember. He said, but all my life, there has been a wall between me and God. He said, I will go into services like this. People get touched by the presence of God, and I feel completely on the outside looking in. I feel like there's a wall. He said, I will try to pray and get in the presence of God. I've never been able to do it. He said, and then a couple weeks ago, somebody put in my hands the book, The Bait of Satan, what we're talking about. And he said, I read the book in 2 days. And he said, when I got to the end of the book, I realized I held unforgiveness against my mother. He said, my mother gave me away when I was 6 months old. And he said, so I contacted my mom and talked to her for the second time in 36 years. Wow. He said, I said, Mom, I've held unforgiveness against you for 36 years for giving me away. She started crying on the phone. She said, I've hated myself for 36 years for giving you away. Well, he forgave her. She forgave herself. Remember, Jesus said, if you have aught against any, forgive them. Any includes you. Okay? If God forgave you, you need to forgive yourself. Amen, amen, amen. She forgave herself. Now the guy is crying so profusely, tears are running off his beard onto his shirt. And I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm like, wow. He looks at us weeping, and he says, now the wall that's been between me and God for 36 years is completely gone. He said, I've been crying like this for the last 3 weeks. He said, I cry like this when I pray in the morning. I cry like this when I come into services. Do you have the right to be offended? Do you have the right to do anything? If you want to go to hell and burn in hell forever and ever, God will protect your right to burn in hell forever because he's given us a free will. But if you want to walk with God, you do not have the right to be offended. Two wrongs have never made a right. The fact that you were mistreated was wrong. But your sin of being offended is not justified by the fact that you were mistreated. Two wrongs don't make a right. What we need to do now is pray, and we need to take responsibility for our sin, for harboring the offense and refusing to forgive, and then we need to forgive. Can we do that? Can you all pray with me right now, and I'll lead you in a prayer, and I want every one of you watching to pray with us right now. I'm going to pray, and then you repeat it. Father in heaven,
Father in heaven,
in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
thank you for speaking to me.
Thank you for thank speaking you. To me.
Through these sessions.
Through this book. Through this
the bait of Satan.
The bait of Satan.
I have realized that I have sinned against you.
That I have sinned against
in harboring unforgiveness.
In harboring unforgiveness. And offense.
I realize two wrongs don't make a right.
Two wrongs don't make
I have
right.
justified my sin.
Far too long because of how badly I was treated.
So this very moment, I come before your throne and I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for unforgiveness, for bitterness, for resentment, for harboring this offense. I repent of this right now and I'm walking away. And right now, from my heart, I forgive. I want you to whisper their name, whether it's your mom, your dad, whether it's a cousin, whether it's a friend, an ex-pastor. Just whisper their name right now. And I want you to see them, and I want you to say to them, I forgive you. I release you. You owe me nothing. Forgive them.
I forgive you.
And now, Father, I pray for every single person that's prayed this prayer. I'm asking that your presence would manifest in their life, even right now. Holy Spirit of God, pour out your love afresh in their hearts. I speak to the bitter roots and I pull them out of your lives in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for releasing that liquid, beautiful substance that I see in the Spirit now, the love of God into their hearts, bringing healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to make sure that some of you know that you will need to exercise. Pray for these people. Pray for them daily. Pray for them what you want God to do in your life. Think of the greatest things you want God to do in your life. Pray that for them. And then when you know you're healed at that point, go to that person. Do not go to that person until you know you have prayed it through and you're healed. Because it will show up if you really haven't forgiven them. It will show up by the way you talk to them when you go to them. You got to make sure that you're going for their sake, not for your sake only. Amen. It's been a real privilege to be able to speak to all of you here and everyone that's watching by these sessions, whether you're in a group, a small group, or you're watching by yourself. It's just been the greatest honor to be able to share with you how to be free from the trap of offense. Be free and get others free. Share the book with them. Just get people into the Word of God, and let's get rid of this massive offense that Jesus prophesied that would happen in the last days. I believe the greatest move of God will occur when Christians, believers, are totally free from the trap of the bait of Satan. God bless you. Enjoy the book.
All right. Now I do, let me start my video back up. I would like to have us again listen to the discussions, because those discussions that they had afterwards to me were so insightful too. But, you know, having an offense or unforgiveness, we were talking on the morning prayer program the other day about strife in someone's life, and the Bible clearly tells us that strife. Can you guys hear me?
No, but I...
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks, Phyllis. I forgot that I had to mute this one monitor in order to get it to play, but I didn't know if then it came back on when I started. Anyway, strife invites or opens us to every other kind of evil in our life. Anger, even all of those things, they open us up and make us vulnerable to the enemy working in our lives. So this is just so important, and I think that's why Pastor wanted to watch this again, and I really want to do the discussions too, because they covered things that weren't really in this lesson, and it's just so important to get this down. And we're really actually talking about doing this a few times a year, because this is something that comes against us every single day that we have to deal with. There's, of course, offenses that have gone on for years that we've all held on to, not really even realizing the extent of the damage that it can do to us. And
yeah, a couple of hours of video like this is certainly a lot easier than reading an old book.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to tell you, though, that the one girl on this session, when she said she got a hold of that book and decided she needed to read it, and sat down and read it cover to cover, that's exactly what I did too. Once I started reading it, I couldn't put that book down. It is an amazing book. I know Sunday said she's going to order it, and you'll be glad you did. Even with watching these lessons, there are other angles and things in the written book that don't get covered in the videos. Though the first teaching, he did a really good job, but yeah, anything to get it down in us. And the biggest thing is just to surrender. That statement that he made, I know I had told you guys before that, what was the statement about, forgiveness is our biggest act of faith, I believe, is how he stated it, something like that. And it really, really is. And that truly is. We just have to surrender it to God. We know many times the offense was so horrendous against us, and we feel like we have every right to be angry with this person and to hold them accountable for it and to go after them for it or whatever, you know, the situation is. We feel like we have every right, but it's the wrong thing to do when we see how Jesus was abandoned and brutalized and still said, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the mindset we have too. If they understood fully what they were doing or had done, they wouldn't have done this to me or to you. And that's the mindset we have to have, and we need to just surrender it to God and have faith, knowing that it will be dealt with by him and way better than anything we could do. So, okay, so I really want to listen to the discussions again. Does anybody have anything you want to add to that while I get this set up or before we start that one? Pastor had to take a phone call real quick, too. That's where he headed off to. So we'll go ahead and listen to this next. I love these discussion groups on these. That was such a great idea.
Yeah, and it's almost 8:30 here. So
yeah. Well, and I know he wanted. Yeah, and he wanted to do more teaching and discussion on it too, and he will come back and do that. I just thought these were really, really good. So while he's off doing, taking his phone call. Okay, everybody ready? Let me get shared again here. Oops, get my speaker back up there. Here we go.
All right, reconciliation. We really need to talk about this. It's so important. Addison, you make a statement that's so good. I want to hear you say it about forgiveness and reconciliation.
Yeah, so the whole idea that forgiveness takes one, but reconciliation takes two.
Wow.
So you could control. You can control whether or not you choose to forgive, but you can't always control what the other person's going to do that will allow you to reconcile to them.
So forgiveness is unconditional.
Yeah.
But reconciliation is conditional.
It is.
And Jesus is coaching us how to make the atmosphere the best to make that person want to reconcile. It was God's goodness and kindness that led us to reconcile with him. He forgave us from the cross long before we were even interested in him. He forgave us. That's the way we're supposed to be. I've heard Christians say, I'll forgive them when they apologize. That's not forgiving the way Jesus forgave us. So there's two situations for reconciliation. Number one, if I have offended somebody. And number two, if somebody has offended me. So if I've offended somebody, Jesus covers them both. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. He said, if you present a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar. He's speaking urgency here. Reconciliation is urgent because it creates a breach in the body of Christ, and a breach is what the enemy wants. The enemy works 24 hours a day to create breaches in the body of Christ. And Jesus is making intercessions 24 hours a day to bring us together. I mean, wow. All right. He says, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. So he's saying before you even bring to God what you're bringing to him, prayer, whatever it is, study of the word, go be reconciled. And I just had this happen last week where I had the urgency. It was what I wanted to do because I realized I had hurt somebody so deeply and I was so stupid and I realized how stupid I was. And it was many years ago, but I didn't care. I was like, this guy's been hurt. Okay. So now he talks about what happens if somebody has offended you, hurts you. If another believer sins against you, go privately. Now let's flesh this out. This one's important. You don't talk on social media. You don't talk to all your friends and try to figure out how to go to that person. Right. You go privately immediately to that person. Don't talk to anybody else. Give them a chance to say, oh, I was a jerk, right? And again, we don't go with a, look at the way you treated me. We go with the heart to be reconciled. So we need to talk about this, guys.
Well, and sometimes it's not immediate. Sometimes you have to pray through it, get your heart in the right place where you can create an atmosphere of kindness so you can go to them in the right spirit. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea of not involving other people is really to protect those other people, because what can happen is, let's say you and I have an issue and then I bring Arden into it and then you and I reconcile. Well, Arden's out here on the side. He's not a part of our reconciliation. So he's not a part of the reconciling of the of what happened. So he's still off here on the side, and he has ill will toward you or toward me or whatever.
Right. And so now we've still got an open sore.
And we've complicated
things. And it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right.
Now, there are times to bring people into the mix. You're supposed to first go to them.
Yep.
And then if they don't hear you, if they don't listen to what you have to say, then you go and you bring trusted people. And I love what you shared in that other segment. People who have both of your best interests in mind. Yeah. Not the
people. We have people like that.
Yes.
You can't just bring, well, this person's always for me and always against John.
Right.
This person, it has to be someone that wants to see both of us grow better and stronger.
Right.
So they want that situation to be a learning opportunity for both of us, not just one of us. And those are, you know, if you've got people like that in your life, you need to give them permission to speak into your life.
Yeah.
And you know, we have the blessing of, after 50 some years, having a few of those people that we can really count on that way. And it's a gift, but you don't want to cause those people to choose between you and somebody else, because it's awkward for them.
Yeah.
So can I go back to step one? Because I want to address one thing. You said, obviously, if you have something against your brother, go to him. And you said, don't go to social media. Well, one of the ways I think people like to sideswipe that is by not mentioning their name, but just talking about the offense. There's enough people involved in your life to be able to pick up on that. And you're doing the same thing. So just so everybody's on the record, don't even count that. You know, make sure and that's a good sign that you haven't dealt with it internally. Well, like we're talking about.
Right.
So make sure that you've done it internally and then go to your brother, not through social media, directly.
And I remember talking about somebody and not saying their name. I was like, well, I'm not really talking about them if I'm not saying their name.
Right.
So like I would talk and be like, hey, I'm talking about, I'm coming to you for help. And I remember the Holy Spirit said, I felt grieved. I was like, why did I feel grieved? I didn't say their name. And he's like, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. You're still being an accuser. And so we need to be people who don't let that be in our spirit. And I remember like years and years ago, God said to me, gossip, which it is. If you are not going to the person, gossip is two or more people standing in agreement on the lies of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like something that was about your past being constant in your present and standing in agreement in a situation of accusation, because it may be true, but God is saying it doesn't have to be their constant truth. I remember when I was writing Without Rival, there was a situation where there's a particular minister that had said a lot of stuff, and God said, be really careful that you cover who he is. He said, because I believe that one day he's going to change his perspective, you know, and 2 years later, after the book came out, I just found out recently the things that he was saying, he's not saying anymore.
Right.
And so I don't want to be that person that is accusing people and put things in writing that are going to be destructive.
Right.
And your generation ends up, you know, I'm not like picking on a millennial here, but, you know, they end up openly processing things with the wrong people.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you have to be strategic,
right?
Who you're taking it to. Because an underlying theme has been, you have to be coming in humility. So if the people who you're talking about it with have had similar past offenses with this same person,
they just gang up.
Yeah, and that's only going to feed a pride in you that will then make it very difficult. Very difficult to reach reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, it comes back to being prayerful.
Yeah.
And you can't take it to those people just to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
That's so true. I mean, when you've been hurt, you've been wounded, you want to be validated.
Yeah.
You want your ego boosted back up. And that's the worst thing you can look for.
And you want to be safe when you go to the other person. You want to have people on your side.
Right.
It seems like this person is on my side and I can be safe. But the truth is, you need to take risks if you want reconciliation. You really
love that.
You have to take risks.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Jesus positioned us for reconciliation. mm-hmm. before we ever did anything to
took that risk.
Yeah. Right? He took that risk. He took the risk by forgiving us.
Mm-hmm.
As
yes.
we all know,
when
forgiveness.
Enemies. When we are yet
enemies. Forgiveness, right. it is a type of risk. It is.
Yeah.
Right? And reconciliation is just a further risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is, because yeah. you can reconcile with that person, and they do the exact same thing to you
yeah.
a month later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jesus said 7 times in one day.
Yeah. Right.
If they truly come back and say, I am so sorry. I mean, that's the posture Jesus was saying you were to take in regard to forgiving somebody.
Because that's
just amazing.
That's God's posture
that's
toward us.
That's his posture toward us. God never said to me, oh, you passed 499. That's it.
You're done for the day.
Oh, I'm so glad he didn't, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, Lisa, you have one of the most amazing stories of being reconciled to your father.
Yeah.
I just wish you'd just...
Well, Addison and Julie were there, and it came at such an unexpected moment, you know, kind of backstep. I remember Addison, when he was young, before he'd even married Julie, he used to always say, I want to go see grandfather because I believe when grandfather sees the man I've grown up to be, he'll become a Christian. And I was like, okay, you're the one I'll take. You will be my go-to. But when the time actually came, we took Asher, who was like 2 months old,
yeah.
and it was Addison and Julie, and we went and we visited my dad in an alcohol-related dementia center. And he, you know, we weren't sure if he even knew who we were. So he had pictures all, you know, spread out. And I remember he picked a picture of Addison at 2, and my dad was like doing something, building something with him. And my dad pointed to himself in the picture, and then pointed to himself, and then pointed to the baby, and pointed to Addison. And I knew, I was like, he's here right now. What do I say to him? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell him he was a good father. That's a lie.
Yeah.
I'm not telling this crazy man who was an alcoholic and I was terrified of that he was a good father. And then I just heard it again. Tell him he was a good father. And I was like, no, he didn't even try to be a good father. I am not. I'm going to tell him the truth. You're going to hell. You need to get saved. But then I heard the Holy Spirit say, he was as good as he knew how to be. Tell him. He was a good father.
Yeah.
And I remember when I took my dad's hand and I looked at him and I said, you were a good dad. He like started to shake, started to cry, kissed the back of my hand and said the only two words he spoke the entire time. He said, thank you. Thank you. And what I saw in that moment was this man who had death on his life in that second had it canceled. And I remember Addison putting his hands on his shoulder and praying my dad out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom mm-hmm. of light. And there are people out there that are just waiting for somebody to say, yes, I cancel your debt. That John 20:23, it's a privilege.
Yeah.
It is a privilege to act like God and to remit the sins of other people and say, you owe me nothing. You know, I read a quote the other day and this goes right along. It says, never be afraid to be the person who loves the most.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people are so afraid that I'm going to put the most down on the table. And nobody is matching this. When we are talking about reconciliation, don't be afraid to love the most. Don't be afraid to say the kindest things. Don't be afraid to give the most because we're acting like God. That's what he does.
We're agents of reconciliation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we are. Mm-hmm. That's outstanding.
Something in that same vein I heard recently was, the weakest person in the relationship has all the control. And what they're trying to say with that is you're coming and you're clearly taking a stand and bringing the strength by wanting reconciliation and taking those initial steps, but they still have the control to reject you, to hold on to their own hurt. And, you know, I think it's important that we realize we can only do what we can do, but I loved what you said about protecting that minister who said those things in that book, because as we're saying how we can be agents of, you know, Christ on earth through our forgiveness and just forgiving offenses, the same is true. I think we need to recognize the weight that we can put these people in a box.
Yeah.
And not to say that Christ can't come in and his grace cover a multitude of our sins, but like, let's give it the gravity that it has, where if we're going to choose to be reckless, there will be consequences.
Right.
And just putting thought into those moments, those raw, sometimes very ugly moments when we are offended, oftentimes ugly moments, it matters. And I think we can only get to that place by practicing,
practicing going first and foremost to God and saying, I don't want to be reckless with this. Like, show me what to do.
That's a real key statement you just made. Those that are mature are those who have their senses exercised. They've practiced to discern between good and evil. And it's amazing how we can condition ourselves to do the right thing in those difficult moments. First thing I'm going to do is go to God. First thing I'm going to do is go to God, you know, instead of, like you said, reacting.
But I want to pause on something. You know, when you said discern, I remember I was writing Girls with Swords, and one of the words for discern was the ability to see the light in the distance. Mm-hmm. And so instead of leaving it to the situation and the person and the circumstances right now, you actually are calling forth their light in the distance. You're saying, I'm gonna speak to who you might be in the future instead of who you are right now. And I'm gonna reconcile with who you might be in the future than who you are right now. And I loved that vision, because when it says discern between good and evil, it isn't just talking about labeling. Discerning is not labeling. Yeah. Good, evil. Right. That's not discerning. That's labeling. Good and evil. Discerning means actually I'm going to find out how we can redeem what's evil now to be good in the thing. It's like God took my past and lit it as a bonfire for other people's futures.
Yeah.
And so that is how we reconcile. So it's a discernment factor of understanding. This is not where you're always going to be. It feels true right now, but it's not true, because God is going to transform you. And so we've seen that in our marriage. We can either bring out the best or the worst in each other, and we can discern what's really going on.
Yeah. I read one time that if you treat a man as he is, he will remain as he is.
Yeah.
But if you treat him as he could and should be, he will become something more.
Which is what Jesus does.
That's exactly what he does.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. How can we do less?
Yeah.
I'm going to be so much nicer after this series.
Bottom line is, in reconciliation, we keep it first and foremost that the whole objective is to love that person, reach out and minister to that person, and you make it about that person, not about you.
Yeah.
I think if we do that, we'll please the heart of our Father,
right,
and we're acting like Jesus.
That's good.
Amen. Yeah. You guys are amazing.
Another really good session, boy. And you know what? There were things in this one that I didn't remember hearing in the first one, or the first time around. I did not, and I don't know how I missed it, Lisa's testimony about her dad. And wow, what a huge thing that is. He did the best he knew how to do as a dad, and just realizing that we're all human. We all make mistakes and are imperfect, and anybody as a parent.
Well, that's the thing about expectations, you know, and comparisons. You compare people to other people, and you compare people to what you think the expectations of how good they ought to be.
Yeah.
And if they only someone else was for, you don't know what this is.
Right. And in a case like that, anybody that is a parent knows that those babies did not come with instruction booklets. And in hindsight, there are always so many things that you look back and wish you would have done differently. And if he was an alcoholic, and who knows what kind of, to be an alcoholic, he must have had a horrendous childhood himself. People make mistakes because we just didn't know any better most of the time. And that's what we have to focus on with everybody else. Okay, let's do this. Whoops. This other discussion time too. Forgot to drag it up there, didn't I? Okay, here we go again.
Well, guys, we are sitting here. This is going to be a
hot hold on, my phone didn't start.
Well, guys, we are sitting here. This is going to be a how-to session, all right? What do we really want to talk about? Because there's some nuts and bolts on this, and that's why we're calling it a how-to. But we want to talk about two things. We want to talk about what to do, how to reconcile with somebody when you have offended them and you find out that, okay? Then we're going to talk about how to approach somebody if they've offended you, okay? So in this first session, you discover somebody's upset with you. How do we handle that, all right? And I go into detail on this in the book in the chapter called Objective Reconciliation. Now, I got to remember there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, all right? We see forgiveness from the cross. Jesus forgave us from the cross. He said, Father, they don't know what they're doing. He was talking right down to us because our sins put him there. So he forgave us before we ever said, I'm sorry. So forgiveness is unconditional, but reconciliation is conditional, okay? And what led us to reconcile with God when we repented? We said, God, I'm so sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. Please forgive me. And what led us to that reconciliation is the goodness and kindness of God. So let's think atmosphere of goodness and kindness on both of these situations. So first of all, we're talking about, I just discovered somebody's offended with me. All right. So let's say, Chris, I talked about your beard and here you're super offended with me, right? Okay. So I got to come to you, right? All right. So let me read the scripture on how to approach somebody if you've offended them by talking about their beard or anything else. All right. This is Matthew 5, 21 through 24. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, this is Jesus speaking, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot or raka, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of hellfire. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go be reconciled, there's that word, to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Now, this is amazing. Jesus is saying that anger can lead to hatred and hatred can lead to hellfire because 1 John chapter 3 says you hate your brother. You're a murderer.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a strong statement, okay? And no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. So number one rule on our little object steps here, I got to go for Chris's sake, not for my sake, okay? I'm not going there just because, let's get this thing done. Why are you offended with me? You know, you're not doing that, okay? I'm going there. Oh, my gosh. And this should be my posture. I've hurt you. I've offended you. And the number one goal, here's our goal in Romans, Paul says, so then let us aim for harmony, okay? My goal is harmony in the body of Christ because when the body of Christ is one, we can do anything, okay, for the kingdom. Now there's a rift, there's a division, and I got to make this right. So my number one goal, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. The New King James Version says it this, therefore let us pursue, I love this, pursue the things which make for peace. So I'm going there, not for my sake, I'm going there for Christ's sake. And I remember when I went through this with that father that deeply wounded me, I actually went to one pastor and I said, I have to make sure my heart's right. I have to make sure I'm going for his sake and not mine. And I actually talked it through and that man helped me to really prepare to go to have that meeting. So here I am, I'm going, I'm preparing to meet with Chris about his beard and I'm coming to you and I'm going, Chris, you know, I understand that you are deeply hurt by what I've said about you. I'm so sorry. Now, the first thing I got to prepare for here, he might be really mad at me.
Yep.
And he might respond, Matt, with frustration,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And just spew out, you know, his upsetness of knocking his beard, right? And I got to be ready to sit there and take it and go, you know, Chris, now let's say I get accused of doing something I really didn't do, okay? Now, how do we deal with that? Remember, object is reconciliation here. So I want to create that atmosphere of kindness. And the thing I can do without actually saying I did do this is I can say, Chris, I never meant that. I can see I've really hurt you, and this is really troubling me. I'm so sorry that you were hurt over what I said.
Yeah,
What I've done is I've not admitted to doing a wrong that I haven't done, but I have realized that it doesn't matter if I did right or wrong. The bottom line is I've hurt him. So why do we want to do this? Because Jesus is in Matthew 5:26. This to me is amazing. He said, when you are on the way to court with your adversary. So he's giving almost like a parable here. Like, I'm not in a court about this thing, but I am, you know, he's my adversary right now because I hurt him. Okay. Settle your differences quickly. Well, you know, you don't like my beard because it's not gray like yours, right? Gosh, man. You know, you see what I'm doing is I'm trying to settle this quickly. You know, Chris, actually, brown is so much better than gray. You know, and I'm doing everything I can in this meeting, genuinely. And that's why my heart's got to be prepared, and I got to spend time praying before I go see Chris. And when I come, my goal is to walk out of this thing to where he trusts me again, to where he knows that I care about him. And so Jesus said, hey, don't leave your sacrifice at the altar. Go and first be reconciled to your brother. And that means what Jesus is saying is there, this just happened to me last week, by the way. I found out I had hurt somebody, and I didn't even realize it. And I was like, couldn't even hardly sleep until I made this right. And I went, and I let him vent, and I said, you're right. I'm sorry. And I even mentioned more things I did that he didn't even mention. And I said, you know what? It brought back to memory what I did them this. And I really meant it because I care about this person. Okay. So you can't go to the person if you don't care about it. You got to go because you really want to see them healed. All right. So let me, last scripture. And that's the wisdom that comes from above. James says is, first of all, it is peace loving, gentle at all times. And it's willing to yield to others. So go with that attitude of being willing to yield, and you're going to be in good shape. All right?
All right. Does anybody remember what was after that? These are so good. You just want to keep going over them. And you know, one of the...
Do you have anything about section 8? That was section 7.
Yeah, how to reconcile these. Well, they had that question and answer afterwards too, didn't they? You know, one thing that came to me as they were talking, oh, yeah, there is a Q&A lesson. We could watch that again too. Yeah, that was very good too, wasn't it? One of the things that came to me too is think about our society. We're taught, actually, that it is so weak to be the one that gives into this, to be the one to try to apologize, to reconcile, to forgive. As they were talking, I was thinking, you know, I hear people or heard people all the time from my past saying, what, are you just going to be their doormat? Don't let them treat you like that. You know, you have every right to stand up for yourself. And people actually encourage us in the wrong direction. And at the time, you think, well, that sounds right. Yeah, I don't deserve to be treated like that. But that's not being godlike at all as we're learning this. And but that's something that's been very ingrained, I think, to most of us. And that didn't even come to me until just now listening to this again. It's like, yeah, we really are taught you stand up for yourself. You don't let somebody run over you like that when you really should just let it, you know, step aside and let them run off the cliff if that's what they're going to do. And that's probably even the wrong attitude, but you don't want to be the one going back at them and holding that offense and fighting back. It's so good. Like she said, it is so good to be godlike. It's a privilege to be godlike. And it really is a relief once you decide, you know what, I'm not fighting this. I'm not holding on to this and do what you're going to do, but I am not going to, let's just get
yes,
past this.
Forgive somebody without being their doormat.
Yes.
Forgive somebody and then go about your business.
Yes.
And without holding a grudge.
Yeah.
You have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you just don't have to stay in that jump up and swinging mode all the time. You can just say, you know what, I want to be done. I don't want to have this between us anymore. And so that is a huge thing, too. And when she said it is a privilege to be godlike, it really is. That is such a relief to the system, because I remember at different points getting to that point where it's not worth all of this strife in your life and feeling that constant hurt. It's like you finally just let go of that hurt and don't let it be there anymore. And what a blessing that is when you reach that point and give up the right to be right. Say, you know, we're always going to see this from different views. So, you know, if you want to continue to see it from that view, then do that.
Well, then it's a matter of being right with God. And
that's way more. Yep, that is way, way more important. You're right. I'm trying to get my phone to advance again. That's what's happening here. Whoops. Yeah, but it's amazing after listening to the first series and then this one, and now this part we're listening for the third time. And oh my goodness, still picking up.
And I'm still going to have to get the book.
Revelation. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, even with movies, I always hate to see or to read the book and then see the movie, because the movie is always more disappointing. But this way you're seeing the sessions first, the teachings, and then you'll read the book, because there are even different things in the book that are brought to your attention than the videos. I'm going to have to read the book again now that we've done these videos, because it was amazing. And that was at a very serious point in my life too. And I think a lot of the things from that point in time, you get clouded. And then to see these teachings again is just amazing. Really, really good. Whoops. Get this back here and let's share again. Speaker back up. Here we go again.
All right, guys, we've just talked about the how-tos, and if we've hurt somebody or somebody has hurt us, how to approach them. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, sure.
So what do you do if reconciliation may not be healthy or safe?
Excellent question. So in other words, abusive situation.
Maybe it's a situation where two people are divorced and want to be appropriate for them to engage in certain conversations. How do you navigate that?
All right. Well, first of all, let's talk about the abuse one. Sometimes people have a definition of abuse and it's really not abuse. And I think that's the case, and I really didn't say this, but I should say it, but Jesus goes on to say, well, what if they don't listen? What if I go to reconcile with Chris about his beard and he doesn't listen to me? Well, then what I do is I go get Rose and I go get Ashley. And these are two people that care about us both.
Yeah.
All right. And I say, Chris, is there any way, you know, Ashley and Rose, they really care about us. They care about our relationship, both of us. They're not partial to us.
Yeah.
Can we bring them in and let them help us talk this thing through? And so we bring Ashley and Rose, and Ashley, you know, going there, Ashley looks at me and goes, John, this isn't abusive. All right. And I go, oh, let's say it is abusive. And let's say he doesn't listen. Then Jesus says, then take your case to the church. That doesn't mean the whole church. It means the leadership. Find a pastor. And if he doesn't listen to the pastor, then Jesus said, treat him like a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Now, do we love pagans and corrupt tax collectors? Absolutely. If they're in trouble, are we going to help them?
Yeah.
Yes. So we still love them, but we don't put ourselves in a place where we're vulnerable with them.
Right.
We don't open our heart to them. Okay. So now we're in an abusive situation. We're in a situation where it's not healthy. What do we do? Well, I look at David. David's a young man. God's put him under Saul, but Saul tries to pin him to the wall with a spear. Okay? So if David stays in the palace, he's going to become a wall hanging. Okay? Right? Okay? So what does he do? On the second spear, he said, I got to leave. This is unhealthy. I got to set some healthy boundaries. So I got to live in the desert because this guy basically has rule over the whole country. I got to go. I got to make a stone my pillow. But he didn't keep himself in a position where he could be abused. So if you're in a husband and wife situation and that husband's physically abusing the wife, well, best thing is kick him out. But probably if he's abusive, he's not going to leave. That means she needs to find a family who's going to protect her, her own family, a family in the church, because she's done everything she can to try to bring resolve to this. And, you know, when Jesus says, you know, except for prayer and fasting, you know, don't come together except for prayer. Well, sometimes that prayer needs to be, God, heal this relationship. And her leaving an abusive situation gives possibly a chance for God to bring this guy to his knees and make him realize. So yeah, you have to employ, and this is, if it gets any more complex than this is why we have pastors. And I would say, just go and meet with your pastor and say, Pastor, this is what's going on, and see if that person will come and meet with the pastor, you know? And so that's an excellent question. Is there any other questions?
Yes. More specifically, what about an abuser who, or a victim of an abuse, a situation in a family, like a family member abusing, are they supposed to be forced to face the abuser again?
You know, look at Jacob and Laban. Laban's a family member, but Laban's abusing Joseph by stealing from him. He's changed his wages 10 times. Finally, you know, Jacob was so faithful to him. It took God saying to him, get out of here. Okay. And so he left. And it doesn't mean he didn't love or care for Jacob anymore. He just said, I'm not going to stay in this abusive situation any longer, physically abusive, like we were just talking about. But he was taking advantage of him. He was abusing him in his wages, probably abusing him verbally when a guy's doing that, changing wages 10 times. Jacob just said, I got to get out of here. And so you can still honor a family member. You know, here he was an uncle. He should be honored, but he wasn't going to stay around for his abuse. So, yeah, you've got to set healthy boundaries, and especially when children are involved, and you need to protect. And you always have to remember, this is a good filter to always pass it through. The number one person you're concerned about is the well-being of others. Now, if you're enabling a person to continue an abusive behavior, does that really help him or her? No. So leaving is actually protecting them as well. You're protecting you and your children, but you're also protecting them because they don't want to do something stupid in their fit of rage that they'll regret for the rest of their life, you know? So it's really important, you know, that we do that. These are great questions. Anything else?
So how do you set those boundaries with somebody that's not interested or willing to change? They're just like, I'm not going to change. How do you begin that conversation of setting those boundaries?
Well, you know, Matt, that's an excellent question. I believe that you pray. I believe you go to somebody who's godly. Like with me, I'm getting a little older now, you know, and I used to go find older, more mature Christians than me and say, what do I do about this? And they would give me an advice. I wouldn't do that because I wanted to spread, oh man, I'm being treated terribly. I was like, can you help me? So if it may have been a pastor or another leader, I would say, this is wrong. I remember I had to do this with a pastor. And I went to a guy who had a gray beard, and I had a brown beard at that time. And I said, hey, I'm being abused here. And I explained to him the situation. He said, John, this is what you need to do. And to be really honest with you, Matt, I don't think I would have figured out. I was too much in the forest to see the trees, right? So he could see it so clearly. And that's why it's so important to find people who you know that will speak the truth to you. You know, you got two kinds of friends. Friends that are going to just basically take your side no matter what, and then you've got friends who will speak the truth to you. I mean, my wife, you know, you guys know from Story of Marriage, my wife and I were stupid when we were first married. I mean, I look at you two. You guys, oh, my God. gosh, I wish we were that good with each other. But, you know, my wife, there were a couple people that she went to, and the one, her words would separate Lisa further from me. And then the other one she went to, her words united Lisa's heart toward me. Now, I had stupid behavior that needed to be adjusted, and there needed to be a separation for a couple days. But you know what? That friend, I'm so glad she went to that friend in that situation, because that was at the lowest point of our marriage. It was about the second year or third year of our marriage. That friend spoke words that facilitated reconciliation. It were wise words, and those words protected Lisa and me both. And so find people, pastors preferably, that are wise to help you to set their healthy boundaries. Yeah, anything else? Are we good? Man, I just tell you, reconciliation, it's not a formula. It is something that we have to go in prayer and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, allow wise, godly Christians and leaders to speak into us and walk it through. It's worth the effort, because why? We're making it a priority to create harmony in the body of Christ.
All right. And there we are again. So good. Uh-oh. I'm trying to get back to you. I am. There you are. I moved my speaker and this whole new screen popped up with a whole list of questions that I don't... Not anything that I wanted to do. It was do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this or this? And I didn't want to do any of them. So anyways, so that is a huge thing, Roger. I see when my children were born, I asked, where is the owner's manual? And I remember thinking that over and over and over again. These little people should have come with instructions. But you think about so many offenses in our lives. Just in those discussion groups, three of those women had horrible offenses and unforgiveness with parents, and that happens so many times. And a lot of the offense in our life and the things that we've done wrong, we somehow want to take it back to our parents, but we always have to give that grace that we didn't come with instruction manuals, and we all did the best we knew how to do with what we knew, and let those things be gone. We're so much wiser now than they were. And I know even the methods of raising children used to be so viewed so differently than what it is now. I know in prior years it was the harsher you were on the children, the better they were going to turn out. And now I think we've almost gone to the extreme opposite of that now, but we're seeing that now too. And we're balancing things out. So, but in the process, we need to always remember that we're all in a learning process, whether it's learning to work with the people that we work with or in our ministries or with our parents and our children. We are all in learning mode, and we just need to give the grace to one another. And like Jesus said, forgive them. Because if all of us, even the mistakes we had known, if we had known the beginning or the end from the beginning, we would have done things so much differently. As that 2020 hindsight. And we all would have done things differently. So that is what I have tonight. I think this was an amazing teaching. And I believe that we're going to be done with this teaching for this time being. Pastor may expand on it more. I'm not sure. I don't think we'll watch the videos again. We'll kind of ponder everything that we have learned and then take a lot of it back to the Bible. And I know we want to get caught up on some read the words too in the next few sessions. Pastor's trying to get a hold of his, well, he's endeavoring to get a hold of his mom to have her help with the read the words too, because I know she'd like to do that and he'd like to have her do that too. She has such a depth of knowledge for characters. She is always intrigued by the characters in the Bible and what their individual lives were like, you know, outside of the parts that we knew. So anyway, she has a lot of in-depth knowledge with that too. So he'd like to have her do part of those two, but we need to get them caught up again. Either way, we were so excited that we had gotten them caught up and then we've gotten behind again. We will get this schedule figured out. We promise. So does anybody else have anything they want to add to this? Phyllis, you always have a wealth of knowledge.
The really basic thing, the bottom of what we always say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
And so that means absolutely you don't let that offense you know, anymore if something mean.
Yeah.
You just absolutely can't. And yeah. Then, you know, it's the righteousness of God is one way. And then being selfish is definitely not righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And a citizen's will, whether it's someone having an offense against you or you having an offense against someone else,
mm-hmm.
is going to wind up someone being made faithful and hurt someone again.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't let someone else's treatment of you cause you to mistreat someone else.
Right.
And Jesus, of course, gave us the golden rule. One to others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
And if we just keep those basics, like this is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and read the Bible. Oh, God's word helps a lot.
Yeah. Washing with the water of the word. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there was something that you had just said there, too, that I was going to comment on. What was that? Oh, the roots of bitterness, the longer you do hang on to those things and let the thoughts keep swirling in your mind, which is the enemy shooting fiery darts, trying to keep you stuck on that and trying to build that forest fire of hate in your mind. Yeah, that bitterness. The roots grow so deep and you start affecting everyone around you and pulling everyone else into it, even without realizing it outwardly. And like Lisa was saying, she figured as long as she didn't mention their names, talking about them was fine. Well, you know, that was just continuing to feed that too. And other people were eventually going to figure out the whole thing, and then they were going to start being dragged into it, and then they'll start questioning other people. It just winds up this huge thing that
just keep in mind that hurt people hurt people. And if you people are ready to hurt you, you want to hurt people.
Yeah. And Jesus didn't give us that excuse. He didn't say it's okay if you were hurt. To hurt people. He did not say that.
How badly was he hurt?
Oh my.
And you know, nobody has ever talked about how seriously he was beaten. I mean, the Canadian tails, okay, that's like a whip that had
glass.
Yeah.
people that he was closest to and that loved him, they all disappeared. And he understood it was out of fear, immaturity, misunderstanding, you know, whatever it is that they abandoned him. But wow, at the most severe point in your life, to have those people even deny that they knew you. And there was nobody else there to save him. He knew it was all a lie, everything they were saying, and he didn't respond. And then it came to the physical part. Yeah, we just cannot even begin to fathom what that whole process must have been like for him.
Well, it's hard for me to fathom that as he was praying before they ever arrested him, he was bleeding drops of blood from his
pores. To the end of the program, but it will continue if you want to stay on the program. It usually does continue going on longer. They don't shut it off on us, so they just charge us. So you're fine sitting there. And those priests too, even with everything they did to have them ready to go into the Holy of Holies, they actually tied a rope. And they had a bell on their garments, and they had a rope around their ankle in case they did still die going in there, because they couldn't go in to retrieve them. They would have to drag them out that way. There's a lot of things like that we had that we don't get into a lot without doing, you know, being in a Bible study. There isn't, like you said, from the pulpit. There's not a lot of even fathom now. And I always think about Jesus when he was on the cross and said to John, take care of my mom, basically. I mean, see, this could make me cry just talking about this.
He suffered for us.
I don't
want to
make it sound like I love you so much.
Well, no, no, but it is the realization of what he suffered for us. And we have no right to hold offense, even though we do, because we're human, but we need to learn to let it go now. Because, because of what he did for us. You know the movie The Passion? I've still never been able to watch more than the previews of that movie. It just touches me so deeply. See, I have not been able to either. They said they did an amazing job with it. So I would like to, for that reason, to see, but I just, like I said, I don't make it past the previews. It just tears me up. It's something else. Okay, so do we want to it's 10:30 for you guys. Let's go ahead and get ready for communion. I need to go get my communion elements. Phyllis, can you read the verses? Are you all set?
I can read the verses,
but
I still have to go read something.
Okay. All right. Do you want me to read while you get your elements? Pastor just came back in, so he's getting ours. So I can read if you need to go get yours.
Okay. All right. You don't want to.
I don't. Not at all.
All right. What are we doing? Verses?
Yeah.
For I received from the Lord?
Yeah.
That which I also delivered to you?
Do you want to do that? And I'll go get our elements?
That the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed.
Which might be good, because Phyllis made me cry, and now my eyes are all fuzzy. Oh, my.
It's all right.
Isn't
we were talking about reconciliation, so.
Yeah. Well, we started talking about Jesus and everything he suffered for us, and you know how what that always does to me. Oh, my goodness. All right. So let me unmute you. Oh, you have to do that, don't you? And I will go get our communion elements.
All right.
You have to unmute you and unvideo
you. I think what I'll do is I'll just go over there.
Oh, okay. That'll work. All right. Here comes Pastor.
I'll be back.
Here we go.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. For I received from the Lord. Are we muted or no? That which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4. I'm really glad we added these verses, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
1 John chapter 4. John, I'm almost there. So I'm not muted or anything over here? I feel like you looking at my computer.
Can everyone hear? Well, yes, if I was talking.
All right. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And he abides in God. Now, that's a pretty good deal. That's pretty cool. You get to be one with the Father. And we have known and believed the love that God is for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. John had a revelation about being one in God, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, right now today, is now, active present. So are we in this world, active present right now. There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear, and the torment goes with it. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we're still on YouTube?
Yeah.
Didn't get kicked off at all?
No. Not yet. We're still on Blog Talk Radio, too, somewhere.
Brother Dan's with us over there.
Oh, is that who that is, Dan?
Bless you, Brother Dan. If you need to say something, just give us the flag. We'll put you on. You can preach, prophesy, and cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Now, let's pray the prayer we always pray. I like this prayer. Ready? Pray it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day. You guys can turn your mics on if you want to.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
And all them other verses. When I believe in you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
So now we make our declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again from the dead just for me. Thank you, Jesus. I receive all of your love and your mercy.
I receive all of your love and your mercy.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
All the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
And I love the thought. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
And as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen, amen and amen and amen, amen and amen. Now, you know, hold on just a second here. Trying to do something on Sister Leanne's computer is like, how do you make this work? Need to get an apple. Almost there.
I could eat an apple right now.
There it is. I'm just looking for all them comments. You know, every time we say that, fill me with all the fullness of God. That is an amazing thought. And there's a lot of people that say, well, Pastor, that don't happen. But it actually does happen. We are actually filled with all the fullness of God. We literally are. And people who say, well, that can't happen, they're full of religion. They're just full of it. Anyway.
Not a good it.
No. And thank God for the revelation. Can you imagine how many people there are in this world who've never received the revelation of the
eclipsing of the saints?
The eclipsing of the saints.
How can they be equipped to do the things that God wants us to do?
Amen.
He has filled us with that power and understanding and his righteousness.
Amen. So we can.
The eclipsing of the saints.
Amen. Because if we don't go tell them, there's billions of people that have never heard one faith message in their whole life. And they don't know. They know about Jesus, but the demons know about Jesus. The Bible says the demons believe and tremble. That's not going to be me. I'm believing possessed. Anyways, you ready? Let's hold up our elements. Oh, wait, we got people with us on YouTube for the first time. You may have prayed that for the first time. If you did, I'm preaching to us like it's just the old folks that's always been with us for now for 2 years. But you might say, Pastor, that was a powerful prayer. Well, the power in that prayer is that all of those are verses of Scripture. I speak that right out of the Word of God. On purpose, led by the Holy Spirit. So that you and I get the revelation that this is what it takes to be born again. You're not getting a denomination. You're not getting a church. You're not getting a building. You're not getting an organization. You actually get to become one with the Father. And you get to have him lead you from the inside out. It's just amazing. So when you said all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness, God filled you with all of that. Think about all of the grace, mercy, love, and righteousness that Jesus received. That Jesus earned or walked out.
Yeah.
Not earned. He walked it out. And we get to receive it. It's by grace through faith. And that's what just happened. So what's going on the inside? God Almighty just filled your spirit, soul, and body. And he said, like we read earlier, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now, you need a good church? That's what we are. You can tithe, sow seed, everything here. If you want to get baptized, we'll have somebody dunk you there, and I'll pray the prayer here. Or maybe we can get to you. The idea is we're doing the work of God right here, just like a church, so that we can reach you and be a blessing to you and your family. And till you find one that you should go to, but if not, if God tells you to stay here and be with us, then that's fine too. God has a plan for every one of us. We got to follow that plan. Because when you stand before him, he's not going to ask you about me. He's going to ask you, did you do what I, God, gave you to do?
Amen.
I'll give an account if I led you right, you know, by the word of God. But you got to walk with God yourself. And that's what we're here for. Got hundreds and hundreds of videos that we can send you to help you grow in God and understand the ways of God. My email address and website. Video, the notes of the video, of Blog Talk Radio, of YouTube, and will be a blessing to you. Ready?
Amen.
Hold up your elements. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus,
Father,
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
Communion.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded
for my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in
the
community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We receive our place in the body. Jesus' body was broken, opened up for you and I to become a part of the body of Christ. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
With my Father.
With my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission in my life.
Every sin is placed in remission in my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's no more condemnation in my life. My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be.
I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Let's sing that song we like. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Wait, too low. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where from cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood of blood. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to to his name. That's an awesome song. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood and for your broken body in our lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to have to study reconciliation all by myself. Because I wouldn't have traded that time with my grandson for anything.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Love it.
Thank you for just keeping right on marching, doing it, whether I was here or not. He's 9 years old already.
Can you believe it?
Wow.
Have you read your wife's book on the
he has his own, actually.
Yeah, I have my own. Oh, I thought you. No, I got you. Yeah. Like, she wrote a book?
No, just read one.
Yeah, I want one too. All right. Well, most important thing is listen to what God says to you and then do it.
Amen.
With a humble heart. Because how many stories have we just heard that when you go to them, it humbles their heart and then everything's fixed.
Yeah.
That's powerful. But if you go to them and they don't receive you and they kick you out, at least you did your part to be right with you and God,
mm-hmm.
because that's what has to happen is you and I got to be right with God for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, that's just selfish, Pastor. No, that's just the Bible. It's not selfish. It's just the Bible. Because you're going to stand before God all by yourself. Not even as a husband and wife will we be judged. We'll be judged as single people. Now, once we made the commitment to be married, made vows to each other, now we're judged on whether or not we kept those vows. But she has to have a relationship with God as much as I. And you can't get in on your husband's relationship. You can't get in on your wife's relationship. It does not work that way. Got to get in on your own. So make sure you're chasing after God every day of your life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Well, amen.
Ready for the benediction?
I am.
Okay, that's Jude, number 23:25. But you can have been building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, taking even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless to glory with extreme joy, to God our Savior, glory is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you for being here.
Yes. Great night.
Ready? Put your hands out and say this with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I sold my time, talent, and treasure. Into the work of the kingdom.
Into the work of the kingdom.
So that people will learn faith. I receive the hundredfold return of all the seed I just sowed. Because I sowed it with the greatest faith I have. In Jesus' mighty name. Help us win people to you all over the world.
Help us to
help
you all over the world.
In Jesus' name. All right. Well, that's all we got. Not really, but it's all we're saying. Till we see you again tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern. Central. Eastern. What is it?
Central.
9 Eastern, 7 Eastern. All y'all wake up and get near your computer, and there'll come a point where there'll be a little thing that pops up and says, these guys are there. Join us. It's like Mark Lowry said, I believe everybody should wake up at the crack of noon. He said that. He said people's like, I got up at the crack of dawn. He said, why would you do that when you could get up at the crack of noon? Well, we sure do love you.
Yes, we do.
And God sure does love you.
Yes, He does.
And Jesus is
Lord. Jesus is Lord. And will always be.
He will always be Lord. I want every one of you to learn to laugh at the devil. Anytime he tells you, well, that ain't going to happen, just laugh in his face. If that's not even laughing, it's laughing if you decide it's laughing.
Yeah.
And then they'll stop because we win. I forget who it was. Some great man of God said, he got two chairs, sat him up in the room. He said, devil, get in there and sit down in that chair because I'm going to laugh in your face. I'm going to worship the Lord and you're going to watch me.
Yeah.
As crazy as that is, that was probably T.L. Osborne because T.L. Osborne was one crazy man. He's an awesome man of God. All right. I'm going to keep talking and I can't do it. Time for me to be in the bed sleeping. Till we see you again, this is what we say.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you.
And
Jesus is
the
Lord.
See you soon.
Good night. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you, Rebecca, Roger, Dan.
Thank you, God.
We are coming back now, you hear? Brother Dan Cottle, bless you. Sunday Geyser, Rebecca Smith. Juliana Ending. Shalom to you, ma'am.
What is the meaning of shalom?
Shalom means peace.
Complete peace.
Complete peace from God, yep. It's a Jewish word for peace.
Well, with a capital S, though.
Right. Right. Bless you, Sunday. Oh, Sunday's putting verses in. She must be really in the lag. Wow.
Thank you, Sunday. I appreciate it. I'm used to do it, but the Facebook stuff kicked me off. I mean, as they stopped, I mean, they would delete my reference comments.
Yeah, yep.
So it
just
didn't
do
any good.
Yep. Yep. Just as fast as you make them, they delete them. Roger had the same thing happen. All right. 84 times. Oh, they just don't like the truth, that's all.
Until people started treating me like I was decrepit.
People where, Phyllis? On Facebook?
Uh-huh.
People where?
I really shouldn't have said that because it hasn't happened that much.
Oh. Okay, well, we'll forget.
One thing, Sam, is that person now, a popsicle thing, so I'm going to have to go get me one, too.
That's a frozen fudge bar. It's awesome.
Yep,
that's how that
I might just get a popsicle thing that doesn't have quite too many calories.
These
actually don't.
These don't have calories. We pray over them with the word of God in Jesus' name. All right, this time we're hanging up. I got to get to sleep here. See you guys. Love you guys. Love you, Roger.
I love you guys.
I love you too. Brother Dan, bless you too, man.